Hey, John Williams, did you know one of the Pope candidates is named Pierre Pizzaballa? And who wouldn't want a Pope named Pizzaballa? Speaking of pizza, let's now join Dawn Jackson Blattner, our favorite nutritionist and dietitian. You can find her at dawnjacksonblattner.com, DJ Blattner on Instagram. She is an author. She is a TV game show winner. She was the food coordinator, the trainer. What was your title with the Cubs, Dawn? What did you technically do for them?
Head dietitian.
Do all pro sports franchises have that job?
These days, it is way more usual for a team to have at least a head dietitian and maybe even some supporting dietitians too.
Yeah, right. Every now and then you'll see somebody. Heck, Luka Doncic could stand to lose 20 pounds, and he runs up and down an NBA floor all day long. And I'm thinking, how is it that he's kind of pasty, and it must just be his diet? He's getting exercise, but he's still overweight. It's one of the things that it may have cost. I don't know why they traded him. They should not have, but he doesn't look like he's in shape. I'll just say that.
Well, I mean, it is true that diet and exercise work hand in hand, and then without one or the other, it is really impossible to have optimal health. You need both.
But if you wanted to lose weight, I've heard it said that of the two disciplines, and they're disciplines for a lot of people, exercise and diet, the more important of the two is diet. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I agree with that. And the reason being really is it boils down to calories, right? So if you're eating, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of calories, I mean, it is impossible to have enough hours in the day to exercise enough to make up for, you know, all the extra calories. So nutrition really is the foundation. And then exercise obviously is for way more than just weight. You know, it is what helps our brain and our heart and our sleep and everything.
Yeah.
So usually it's like, you know, the nutrition piece is very helpful for weight. And then the exercise helps you keep that weight off. It's a weight maintenance tool as well as a longevity tool.
Well, that must be it, because I get so discouraged. Like, I'll ride a Peloton for 30 minutes and then I'll look down. Let's say you burned off 350 calories. I thought, that's a donut. Are you kidding me? You've got to be kidding me. But that's all I get. And I wondered then, well, maybe living, breathing, sleeping, just going about 24 hours of a day, that must burn a lot of calories too, because I busted my butt and I was only able to subtract a donut, you know?
Oh, yeah. So our resting metabolic rate is what you're talking about. It's like at rest, we are burning a lot. You know, thinking, even sitting at a computer thinking burns calories. Pumping our heart burns calories.
Right.
So, yes, we are burning calories just being a human being. And the extra exercise is, you know, the icing on top to really help with the longevity piece. And so that's why most everybody, I talk about separating food from exercise. So not thinking about it as, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to eat this food and then I'm going to burn this many calories to burn it off. It's like separate the two. It's like you're trying to eat for fuel and all the things you're doing in your day, and then you're trying to exercise for just this longevity and weight maintenance.
Last couple of weeks, you've had your eye on mocktails. Why are you thinking about that?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, so here's the deal. I came across, well, I feel like summer and patio season and having cocktails is like upon us. I mean, not today and on the rainy day, but I just feel like it's upon us. And then all of a sudden, I was reading this study in neurology, and it was with over 1,700 people. They did autopsies on their brains, and they sort of mashed up, and they said, okay, let's see the people who drank alcohol, the people who didn't drink alcohol, the people who drank a lot of alcohol. Let's just look at their brains and see what happens. And this is what shook out, okay, in this study, is that people who were having 8 drinks or more a week, which, by the way, is not that much, 8 drinks a week or more, had 133% increase of having injuries in their brain in areas that was associated with like memory issues, thinking issues. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then this was the real kicker, is that they also, these drinkers of 8 drinks or more per week died an average of 13 years before the non-drinkers. And when I'm talking about a drink, I'm not, you know, I'm talking about 5 ounces of wine. This is a tiny pour. It's 1.5 ounces of a hard alcohol. It's a 12-ounce beer. So the idea is these add up quickly, and 8 or more per week is like, okay, maybe we should be thinking about some mocktails as some swaps here. Mocktails being a non-alcoholic version of something to drink that's special. However, the real bummer, I'll tell you it's a bummer, is many of these mocktails, especially like at restaurants, so much sugar in them. Boo. Like, not a good swap. Is like going from alcohol to like a high sugar thing. Not ideal. So I have three that I will do like in the summertime, especially, but I really got to focus even year round on having things without alcohol and not a lot of added sugar or none, no added sugar. So I have a pomegranate sour. I really like this combination. This is where you just pour some water, splash of pomegranate juice in there, which is like naturally sweet, that has no added sugar, it's just natural sugar, and a little bit of apple cider vinegar. And it's sour, but it's sweet. It's very refreshing. It tastes like something special. It looks like something special. Put it in a special glass, and that's no alcohol, no added sugar. I also have been doing an electrolyte mock burrito instead of a margarita, and that I use coconut water for, which also naturally has no added sugar, but tastes sweet from natural sugar. And then, of course, you know, a margarita has lime and a little bit of salt, and that makes it an electrolyte margarita. I love coconut water, lime, and salt combination. And then finally, I do a lot of nojitos. And this is instead of a mojito, it's a nojito, where I brew mint tea and I ice it. So iced mint tea, lime, and that really is the combination of a mojito. It's delicious together. And no alcohol, no added sugar.
Do the pomegranate sour recipe again.
Yeah, I just do plain water. And then I do a shot glass of pomegranate juice. And then I do 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. And I put that together. And you would think, how is this working? Well, pomegranate juice is naturally very sweet. And that apple cider vinegar is so sour. It's really a fun combo.
Would you do a sparkling water with that? Give it a little fizz?
Oh, I like that idea. I usually just use plain water, but I like the idea of doing it. Maybe that's a pomegranate sour spritz we've got with the sparkling water. I like that.
Spritz is a big word. Speaking of cocktails, everybody likes an Aperol spritz. So we'll do a pomegranate sour spritz or something.
Love it.
So sparkling water, a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, and a shot of pomegranate. And
yep,
then I guess as
exactly.
much water as you want, depending on how pomegranate-y you want the drink to be, huh?
Yeah, I really like, anytime I use a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, I really like 8 ounces of water to dilute it so that it's not too hard on my teeth enamel or my esophagus going down. So I do like an 8 ounce pour of water to dilute that.
312-981-7200. I'll post these recipes, and Dawn probably has or will on her website. Am I right?
Yes, for sure.
Could you ask Dawn to come up with a walnut burger recipe? Why is a great idea? I don't know what why is a great idea means, but what's a walnut burger?
Well, it's interesting. So plant-based burgers are like all the rage because people are trying to eat less meat and eat more plant proteins, and walnuts happen to have, you know, a lot of plant protein. And a lot of times when you use these plant burgers, they really do something that is like a binder, sort of like either like a chickpea or a lentil. You know, walnuts themselves are kind of hard to stick together. So if you blend lentils and make a lentil burger with walnuts in there, chopped up very small, you can form burgers without even eggs or breadcrumbs or anything because the lentils are so sticky in and of themselves. So that combination, and then you can add anything you want in there, any sort of seasonings, whether it just be black pepper and a little bit of sea salt, or you could do things like like veggies chopped up in there. Like, yeah, I've seen burgers with like carrots and peppers and all sorts of extra stuff. But the base is really like a lentils and a walnuts to get your protein, but from plants.
Friend of mine just texted in and said, I do a shot of ginger kombucha with tonic and lime, and it is delicious.
Kombucha is a fermented tea. And the only thing I would say about that is to make sure you're looking at the sugar grams. Some have very little added sugar and some have quite a bit. So buying kombucha, very good idea, and not using much of it like that shot is great. Now, the only thing I will tell you is, tonic is like soda. So tonic is just like drinking a Coke or a Pepsi or, a 7-Up, because it has so much added sugar. So you're looking to do something like a sparkling water instead of a tonic with that kombucha. And that is a plus genius idea.
He says it's like fermented tea, which you said, and it has live probiotics, and that makes it burn a little bit, which gives you the boozy feeling that you might miss when you're not drinking alcohol.
Well, kombucha is interesting because it's fermented, and, alcohol is fermented too. Sometimes kombucha will actually have a kind of a low ABV. It will have a little bit of alcohol in there because it is a fermented beverage. So it's really great, and I love the idea of making it like half sparkling water and half kombucha. And just again, look for the labels. It says added sugar on all the labels. Just compare what you've got in the store and get the one with the lowest added sugar.
Hey, Don, is a processed plant-based hot dog or burger or sausage better for you than their highly processed meat-based brethren, or is it a wash?
This is a very controversial topic because so many of the faux meats out there are considered ultra-processed foods. However, they are giving you protein, and sometimes they're even giving you fiber. They're oftentimes lower in saturated fat, but not always. And they tend to have still a lot of sodium, which is the biggest problem with, many of these processed things. So likely for most people, it is going to be a wash with maybe a tiny, tiny, tiny edge to some of these vegetarian or vegan options just because of the potentially lower saturated fat, but oftentimes they're a wash.
Don, what is optimal to eat before a 30-mile road bike ride for endurance, energy, recovery afterwards?
Yeah, well, oftentimes when you're on one of these long rides, it's not even enough to eat before and after, is that you actually are bringing food or any sort of fuel on that bike ride with you even. So like, for example, carbohydrates, and that would be something like salted dates, some people do, or like a banana and toast and some nut butter, like almond butter, before, so that you're getting carbohydrates primarily, maybe a little protein, but primarily carbs to fuel your bike ride. On the bike ride, a lot of people will bring something like fruits, so like oranges that are very juicy and hydrating, in a baggie so that they can be eating them as they're riding. Some people actually buy like carbohydrate-based little like tubes to eat while they're riding their bike.
Yeah.
Some people even bring like half sandwiches of like peanut butter and jelly with them. And then afterwards, that's where your main meal comes. You need protein, you need carbs, you need good fats. And so that should be a main meal and not like little baby snack, but like a balanced actual meal.
And if I was going to eat a meal and I was going to exercise hard, like ride for 30 miles or just do something on your bike at home or your treadmill or whatever, you're going to do your workout. Should I eat before or after? Maybe I'm working out at lunchtime, but I'm also going to eat at lunchtime. Do you have a preferred order of events?
Yeah, so most of the time you're going to want your main regular big size meal after a workout, because when you do it beforehand, it can often feel heavy or slow you down with what you're doing. For people who say, but it's been so long since I've eaten, what am I going to do? You can do something called meal splitting, where you have part of your meal, a little bit, to get you fueled up for your lunch workout. Not too heavy, not your full lunch, but you feel pretty good, and then you complete and finish the full lunch after.
I guess the idea that I would eat and then work out and burn off the food that I'm eating, is it doesn't happen that quickly, probably, huh, Don?
Well, yeah, and the biggest thing is you do want something on board. You don't want to be like fasted for hours and hours and hours before you work out, because then you'd be working out on an empty tank. We always want to have something in our system before we work out. However, if it is too much, like if it's a full meal, oftentimes that makes people feel sluggish and like they can't push themselves enough to get results that they're looking for. So a little something before a workout, yes. Your big full meal after.
We're talking with nutritionist Don Jackson Blatton. Are you ready for more questions, Don?
Yeah, would love it.
I put a lot of black pepper on some foods. Is black pepper bad for you? Don, I could have written this question. There's no problem with a lot of black pepper, is there?
No, it's so good. One of the best ways to season your food. So I'm A+ for that.
What does Don think of creatine supplements?
Okay, so creatine is a very interesting supplement. It's been studied a very long time and has some pretty great safety, research behind it. Now, it's not for everybody. So somebody who may have like kidney issues or other sort of health issues, it's not for them. But for most healthy people, having 3 to 5 grams of creatine is A-okay, especially if they're active. And here's what it does. It basically is this little battery pack for any time your cells need quick energy. So like lifting weights, that you're doing something quickly, sprinting, you're doing something quickly. And so it helps generate energy so you're able to push yourself more. That's why it's oftentimes for an active person, because it's helping in that situation. Now, there is a newer research to say it also helps with muscle recovery. So you get, less sore and you're able to jump back into the gym the next day and keep pushing it. And then there's also some new research to suggest it's great for particularly cognition as we age, so brain health. So it is a very interesting supplement. Anytime you're thinking about taking something, just check with your doctor. But by and large, it's pretty well researched and generally safe for most healthy people.
What does Dawn recommend to satisfy the taste for salt, not including nuts? Vegetables aren't really savory. What have you got for us, Dawn?
Okay, so this is an actual chef-based tip. And that is, anything sour can mimic the taste of salt on your tongue. It can brighten the foods that we eat. So that would be like lemons. Like, you have lentil soup, a lot of people will squeeze lemon on it because it brightens it and flavors it, makes it punchy. Vinegar on a salad would be another example of how it brightens your food. Lime would be an example. Anything orange would be it's kind of sweet, but it's also a little bit sour and tart. So sour is great. And then the other thing, too, is experimenting with other seasonings. So salt is great to brighten foods. So is sour food to brighten foods. But then making sure, am I using oregano? Am I using, black pepper, as we talked about before? Am I using any sort of spices in my spice drawer to make it more flavorful?
Dawn, you're always promoting nuts. We should eat nuts and beans and, all these good foods. And I like nuts a lot. When I go into the grocery store, they'll have this display of all of these different flavored pistachios, and they're so good. They're expensive, but that's a treat for me sometimes. But I think this can't be that good for me, because either the seasoning or the salt on there is probably canceling out the benefit of the nuts. What do you make of those packaged nuts?
Still very good. I mean, even with the seasoning on there, still very good. You're getting the plant proteins from the nuts. You're getting the healthy fats. You're getting the fiber. So you're still getting the nutrition from the nuts. You're just getting the added sodium, and in some cases, maybe a little added sugar, but mostly added sodium from the seasoning. So somebody who's really paying attention to decreasing the sodium in their diet may do the 50-50 mix, where you buy a bag of plain, you buy a bag of your favorite flavor, and you mix them together. So it basically makes it half as much sodium as just the full flavored version.
I'm a big fan of Dawn Jackson-Blattner, says 847. I'm diabetic on a program for BCBS, Twin Health, and their green foods do not include oatmeal or beans, which I love and have been adding based on your and Dr. Greger's advice. I'm constantly arguing with my counselor at Twin about this. Who do I trust here?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, this is a big thing, right? There's tons of information in the world about how you should eat, and it gets to be a very confusing place. And so when it comes to nutrition, one of the best things I can explain to people is consider global nutrition. I teach global nutrition. I look at the globe and I say, who are the people who are living the longest, healthiest lives? Not, what are Americans trying to tell themselves back and forth, but like in the world, who's living long, happy lives? And it tends to be people who do include whole grains, nuts, seeds, beans. So they're not eating, bags and bags and bags of pasta. They're having a little bit of whole grain pasta. Or it's not somebody who's eating a huge bowl of oatmeal. It's a little oatmeal along with a Greek yogurt and fruit. So these foods are really great in terms of longevity, and it's portions that really are the poison in this world. It's like the dose is the devil, or whatever that saying is that, all of these foods fit, and it's just a matter of how much we eat.
I want to do intermittent fasting during the day. Is there a meal that is better to skip than another, says Fireman Tom?
Oh, hi, Fireman Tom. So intermittent fasting is where you have a window of time where you are not eating. Most people will use the 8 hours that we're supposed to be sleeping as part of it. And then another great idea is to not have so much at night. So the body loves when the sun is up, it loves to be working and doing things. And when the sun is down, not having tons of extra food around is great. So intermittent fasting, you know, trying to have a later breakfast, lunch, dinner is a little earlier. And then you're able to sleep the 8 hours and then have, you know, most of your fasting done. So a good place to start is 12 hours of a fast. And so for if you think about that, ending at 7 o'clock in the night, and then you're eating at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Pomegranate sours, margaritas, and nojitos are Don's mocktails, and they sound like a really good idea, both for drinking and for health. Okay, Don, so we'll tell people to go to donjacksonplatner.com, and you'll show them how to make them there, right?
Yep, I always do for you and your listeners.
Thank you, Don. We love you.
Thank you. Love you too, John. Bye. Thanks.